going to do this.
Mike Jensen, we will overcome technology.
We're going to get it. Just those. I know it's always the technology stuff, but we're up and running. We're good to go. How's it going over there? You're on spring breaks.
That's right.
Are you partying hard?
That's right. We're super drunk and we've got our tops off and I yeah, just did perfect. A jello shot. And, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's weird because I was saying to you, I didn't know what day it was because
right.
I've just been with them, but it's actually been kind of lovely. Yeah, we're waiting. My sister is going to come into town today.
That's so fun.
I know. I'm really excited. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to get everything organized and ready. And actually, my very close friend Jess is going to come in town and they're going to overlap by a day. So I'm just like excited and it's going to be great because we have lots of space, but some people might be sleeping on couches and things like that because there'll be quite a few people. But I'm happy to like try it, you know, like to have like a just a gaggle of like, oh my God, they'll be like, let's see, 4, 8, 5. There's going to be 15 people in this house. I think
there's
can do it.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the sister's coming with her whole family.
Uh-huh. Whole fam damn.
All right.
But the great thing is they've already done Disney and Universal and all that stuff. So
gotcha.
We're kind of going to do like some outdoorsy stuff. They've been in Washington and in freezing weather. So I think they're really excited to be in the environment. I mean, it has not been, it is cold today still. It's windy and cold. Craziness.
It's a little out of control here because literally a couple days ago, it was like windy and rainy and awful. And I've been like working on things. It's 70 degrees out. It is 70 degrees out right now in
Get
New York City.
Pool.
I know. I am wearing shorts. though I ran to the grocery store and it was a little bit, I was like, oh, it's a cool 70. Like I probably will, when we are done, I'm going to go out and enjoy nature and I'll probably put some jeans on, you know, just so I don't freeze.
Because it's going to get cold.
But that's fun that they're all going to be there.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. And I've been alone for a couple hours cleaning and stuff like that. And it's like crazy. I don't know what to do with myself, you know? You remember how I was bitching about last week, how I'm never alone? And then and then I was alone with my thoughts, Mike. And my brain started to go, wee-oo-wee-oo. Yeah. That's my dial-up sound.
I know. If you're about our age or older, you know what that sound was. I remember it well. And then at some point, it would just like, you'd be like, who picked up the phone?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the days. Yeah, I know that I've talked about this in the past, but I have been trying really hard lately to not always have sound on, to not always like have a podcast or a book or music, to sometimes just like leave the apartment and just sort of be, because it's good. I think it's good to like process your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
And part of why I like us doing this is because it, for me, has almost filled the void left by RuPaul and Michelle Visage, because they used to do a very, I loved their like conversational part. It was oftentimes about nothing. Like they would just sort of like talk about what shows they'd seen. But I was always like, and people have said this to me about our podcast and about the other ones, that like you feel like you're part of the conversation. You're just sort of like talking along and you can kind of like get lost in your own thoughts while listening to someone else talk, which is sort of what I hope this is for others, because it's what I wanted
to be. I mean, I'm like, I enjoy it, but
enjoy
wait,
it.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely know what you mean by RuPaul and Michelle Visage.
Yeah, it was weird. They went off right at the beginning of COVID starting. And I know that they used to record it during like lunch break on the set at RuPaul's Drag Race. So I guess just because that wasn't a thing. But I was surprised they didn't keep it up and do it like the way that we do it, where it's, you know,
I mean, it's so
easy
to do.
In your separate spaces. Yeah, and maybe, I'm sure also, you know, I was thinking about, I think sometimes about people who have done well for their careers and then suddenly do really well, like, you know, like RuPaul has been successful entertainer for many, many years, since I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But like certainly in the past decade, their income has gone from a nice amount to like a very, very nice
amount.
They're
doing okay. They're doing really okay.
So they probably, I think I was thinking about that with Jennifer Coolidge, you know, like she's been kind of, you know, doing well. And now she's had this big boom, which is fun to see. Just people like that like have gone along on a steady career, and then I don't know, I guess I that makes me still believe.
I love that.
That one of these days,
absolutely. I'll Mike, I believe I'm in a good place with that. I think we're gonna totally. We're just gonna be, people are gonna be like, oh my god, remember when we used to just listen to our podcasts and now they have no time for a podcast and we hate them now.
Just, no, we're just so busy. We're so busy with all of our other stuff. Yeah, it's funny. You had texted me earlier about being back at work, and it's funny because I've literally worked one shift a week. Like, I worked one shift last week. Okay. I worked one shift, and I go back to two. I was like, I'm like revving up the motor. Like, I'm doing two shifts this week and ease two shifts next week. Yeah, and it's been kind of weird of like, I'm kind of back to work and I'm kind of not, and I'm going, so I guess we'll say up front here, we won't be here next
right.
week.
Yes.
Because I'm going out of town, and it's the trip that I was supposed to have taken a few weeks ago that got canceled.
Oh,
that
good.
I was like, well, just a sign that instead, so I'm going to be in Salt Lake City for several days.
Awesome.
And I'm very curious to go there simply because Salt Lake City was a huge part of my upbringing.
I know, maybe you'll find a Mormon husband.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, who knows? It's going to be odd to, because when I was supposed to be going to Alabama, our friend Annabelle had been like, well, have you ever been to Alabama before? And I was like, well, I know that I have.
Right.
Because I'm certain that I've mentioned the 5-week epic road trip with my parents when I was 15, where we drove from Washington down through Utah to Texas, stayed in Texas for a week, drove to New Orleans, stayed in New Orleans for a week, drove to Atlanta, or really Snellville, and stayed in Snellville for a week with family there, and then like traversed the country sort of diagonally as we went back to Washington. And it's funny, I have like one mention of being in Alabama, and I have such a distinct memory of us like trying, and this is no shade towards Alabama, I'm sure there are beautiful, beautiful places, but we could not find a hotel that wasn't disgusting.
Oh, no.
And this was like 1992. Like, you couldn't go online and be like, what's, like, we literally went to a place and like went to check in and turn on the lights, and like, when I tell you that it was the comic like bugs scattering as the lights came on that we were nope. like, and we can't we can't stay here tonight.
Hail to the nana.
So my only mention of Alabama is I think we were in Mobile, Alabama, and like trying to find a hotel that we could stay in. And then, you know, I then sort of got into, because I only kept a journal for 1 year of my life, but it was that year. It was the year that I was 15 turning 16.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there's stuff in there. Like, I'm going to mine this. Like, there's definitely stuff in here to take out. And so many things that I talk about where I'm like, oh, I'm still dealing with that problem 30 years later. That's fun. And like, just so much stuff with my parents. But, yeah. You know, on two separate occasions, I was in Salt Lake City. And this is, as far as my knowledge goes, other than being at the airport, I have not been in Salt Lake City proper since the summer of 1992.
Wow.
It's my last time there. And it's so weird to read it.
30 years ago.
30 years. Wow. Yeah. Like, it's nuts. And I'm reading about these experiences of being there. And how, and we had gone through Provo as well, which is where BYU is, which is where my mom went to college. And I had always had the thought of like, maybe I'll go here. Maybe this right. will be where I end up going to college. And it was this trip that I write in my journal of like, I'm not going to end up here. And I don't really know why, but I don't belong here. I don't fit in here. And it was me trying to come out.
Oh,
like, it was me trying to like reconcile, but just not being able to like go quite that far. So I'm very curious to be in the city again and kind of like, you know, tool around. And I know it's a very different city. I know that things have changed.
Yeah, it's cool. It's actually really cool. My friend Molly lives there. She's awesome.
Oh, that's
yeah.
her mom. That's where they ended up. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
She's amazing. She's a designer for the, oh gosh, she does knit. She designs knitwear. She's amazing. She's an amazing person. I love you so much, Molly. I don't know if you're listening.
I think that I must have known that that's where they where they currently were. That's fun. Yeah, I'll only be there for a few nights, so I don't know how much I'll do. But it's like a kind of a cool area where we're staying, and we're already like picking up. So, anyways,
I'm proud of you.
That's what's happening
so
next week. So, yeah, I'm excited to go. I'm excited to do it. It was a little bit of like a, like I said, because the one got canceled, that I was like, well, I think this is a sign. So I sort of just like got some tickets and was like, oh, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to. So that'll be a next week thing.
Great.
And then this is such a weird thing to bring up because it happened a few weeks ago and I just hadn't ever really known how to frame it. But it's felt every time we've finished a recording, I've had this feeling in my stomach of like, you didn't talk about it again.
Mm.
And it's because I don't 100% know what to say other than, and I'm getting emotional. Yeah. And I it's because a cousin of mine passed away a few weeks ago, and I, you know, wasn't able to go to the service, but I was, they did it online, so I was able to watch it. And it's hard because I didn't know this cousin all that well. I remember her. I would have spent time with her and once again, if I'm remembering this wrong, I would feel terrible, but I don't think that I've seen her since I was a boy, like legitimately like a boy. But, you know, it's my Aunt Jo, my dad's sole living sibling is my Aunt Jo, and it's her daughter. And so, like, to see her get up and talk, and my cousin Matt, who I am a little bit closer to, he's come to New York a few times, and I've got to spend time with him and his family. And I guess I just wanted to, like, have you been to that kind of, because you, when you went to your grandma's memorial, it was real, like, you were in person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't done an online one.
I was so grateful for the opportunity. Like, I was so glad that I was able to do it. And it was an odd feeling of, like, being there and not being there at the same time. But I don't know. I guess the long and short of this was just, I'd wanted to, and I sent it personally to both Joe and Matt and that whole side of my family, but just, like, thinking of them and loving them. And I have another cousin who's not doing very well right now, and it's just hard, like the family stuff, you know. Yeah. We just keep getting older, and things get more and more complicated, it feels like. But I guess I just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge, you know.
What was their name?
My cousin Autumn. My cousin Autumn. And I, once again, I have memories. They're such far off memories. But yeah, for Autumn and for my Aunt Jo and my cousin Matt and all that family, you know, thinking of all of you. And that's, you know, I just wanted to touch upon that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
So I feel a little bit like last week, like I'm going to talk through a couple of things that are going to get me to
I dig nothing.
Everything is doom. How about you? Do you have anything like that you can like pinpoint?
I can pinpoint. It's, you know, it's nothing like that I've been watching, although, or listening to, although my friend Daniel sent me a song that I really love, because he and I always, you know, like our love language is we send each other songs. You know how you have a little something different with everybody? And
yeah, sure.
This song is called Lift You Up by Leon. I wanna lift you up. So if you guys want a song that's kind of like, it's not like, the lady has like a really husky voice, which makes me happy too. So anyways, that's what I'm sort of digging as like a culture type, pop culture type thing. Actually, like, my real true digging is I started coaching this week. I started coaching my team.
I was so happy to hear about this.
And it's such an interesting, it's such an interesting side of my personality to go back to, because I used to be, I mean, I was a very competitive kid, and I love sports, and I love team sports, and I played volleyball for, oh my God, like 15 years. I played it forever. And one of my very close friends who passed away when I was in high school, her and I, like, our formative, like, friendship and our years together were playing, like, club ball. Like, club ball is when you, like, travel a lot. And so, like, her mom became my second mom and vice versa. And that's how her and I got so very close, you know. And so when she died, it was obviously super painful. I was 17 at the time. Yeah. And I was just thinking, I mean, I'm still digging volleyball, but one thing I wanted to mention is, you know, all I wanted was to be able to text her and tell her that, oh my God, I'm coaching these kids who are like our age when we started. And it was I was like, oh, maybe I'll text her mom, but it's just sad when someone you love is not there and you have, but it is bringing me great memories and in a way bringing me closer to her. I truly think of her every single day of my life. It's the craziest thing, you know. You just don't forget. They say time heals, but I don't know. It's just like, anyway, it's been lovely. But actually, I have a specific moment in this.
Okay.
So our first day, we were to figure out our name, right? And so the kids were all sitting around in a little circle, and they're just so stinking cute. They're from 8 years old to 10. And finally, one of them was like, someone was like, oh, let's be the Royals. Let's be the whatever, all these names. And one girl raises her hand. She was like the kind of the quietest one. And she goes, well, what about Panthers? Like Black Panthers? And I shit you not, the eight other kids go with the hand movements. I swear to God, they go Wakanda forever. And I was like, oh my God. Well, obviously, well, we voted, but that's the name. And it was the cutest. Uh-huh. Even Amelia, my daughter, was like, they go, everybody looked at each other and go, Wakanda forever. And so we're the Panthers, which is very exciting. But I was just like, you guys, it's so fun to be around. I know that kids have their whatevers, because obviously I deal with my children all the time. And I'm like, why? I'm pulling my hair out. But it's great. I just love to see their joy and their excitement to be interested in something. And I think my daughter and one other kid are the only ones who have any experience. And I'm telling you, my daughter did not have that. So it's like I am teaching them from scratch how to play volleyball.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'm so excited to like continue hearing about this. I also feel like we hadn't clarified last week that it was your daughter's team.
Yes.
I did come away from it being like, wait, we didn't really clarify. Yeah, I just assumed that it's that team.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cute though.
Yeah. Grief is so wild, yeah, man. Like whenever I go home now, and I do like the circle where like I have a cousin buried here and a cousin buried here and a high school friend buried there. And now, you know, my grandparents and my mom are in the same place. And I kind of do the walk and sort of, and you know, my friend who passed when we were in high school, her name was Sunday. And we weren't like best friends. We were very good friends. We were very close, but it's so hard to think about someone leaving this world at such a young age like that and just wondering what would have been or what could have been.
I know.
And it, you know, I then think about my friend RJ that I think I've talked about here before.
Yeah, I love RJ. I loved RJ. He was the best.
And I literally think of him every day.
Yeah.
Like, I think every day I have a moment where I'm like, oh, RJ would think this is funny, or I should tell him about this. Like, we had our little traditions and our texts that we would send every once in a while. And you know, it's much fresher, and this is not to concentrate on like grief, but
yeah.
One of the days that I went when I'd gone to sit at the bar at the restaurant that I'm now back working at, and I was talking to the bartender that I hadn't seen in a while, and he was talking about moving back. I didn't know that he wasn't from this country. He's from a different country, and his parents still live there, and they're getting on. And he had a moment. He was saying, you know, like, I just think that I want to go back and spend time with them while I can. And everyone like has to live your life, and you know, I was in New York when both of my parents passed away, so I'm not advocating everyone moving home.
Right.
But I did say to him, like, if you're inclined to do so and that's something that you think is fulfilling, man, it takes my breath away sometimes that I am never going to talk to my parents again.
Yeah.
Like, it literally, I have moments that, like, I think I've talked to you about this, and I don't think I said it on the podcast because it feels very personal. But, you know, what else are we going to talk about? I have moments where I feel completely untethered to this earth. That I feel like I'm, like, floating. And there's, like, a cord that's supposed to be holding me to the ground. And I sometimes feel like it's coming undone.
Yeah.
And this is not to, like, sound an alarm of any kind.
I know.
But it's really, I have moments that I feel so, like, completely untethered to anything. Which is why, you know, it's important. Your friendship is so important to
I
me. And others in my life that are so important to me, because we need those things. We need those people to keep us tethered to this earth, I think. So, you know, didn't mean to get I'm not sad about it. I think that, you know, I'm going to quote it wrong, but I think we've even talked about the play, and then we saw the film of Rabbit Hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they sort of talk about grief and how, like, grief is the thing you have instead of the person.
Mm.
That, like, grief can feel so sad, and it is sad, but it also is, it just reminds you that you love them.
Yeah.
It's just love after they're gone. So I don't think grief is all that bad. You know, you just can't give into it
exactly
all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good. It's good to feel it.
That's true.
It's not a great segue, other than I did finish the audiobook of The Bell Jar.
Oh.
That Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Good on
it's
you.
A, it's, an, It's an amazing book. Like, I feel like I need... I actually... My mom owned this book. Like, I remember seeing the cover of it in my parents' bedroom when I was a little child. And I think that I kind of want to get a... Like, I think I want to read it for myself. Maggie Gyllenhaal does an amazing job. Like, it's such a great listen. But it's pretty... It's... And I knew it was deep, but it's deep. Like, it's... Mm. It's it touches on some very, you know, serious mental issues. And moments that, like, rang so familiar of like dark moments that I've been in that I'm not in right now. I'm not there, but it definitely heralded back to those moments when like it can feel so hard to even just like be alive. Yeah. Like just the idea of like keeping going. So for those that haven't read or heard, like I do still suggest it, but know that it does go pretty dark. I will also say I saw a really lovely movie, and it's called, it's funny because when I spent my day at the Waverly, which isn't the Waverly, it's the IFC Center, they showed the same preview before every set of short films that I saw.
Oh, okay.
And it's for a movie called The Lost King, and it stars Sally Hawkins. She's done like Shape of Water and like Woody Allen aside, she's in Blue Jasmine, which was an amazing, amazing film. I knew her first, I think most people probably knew her from... I think her breakout role, what was it called? Happy Go Lucky, which it's funny because it was the first thing that I ever saw her in, and it made me a little bit crazy because she's so awkward.
Yeah.
And I do that weird thing where when I see someone's first performance and it's so specific, I'm like, that's just what you're like. And she's, you know, she's an actress. She's an amazing actress. And she's in this new film called The Last King. And it's interesting because it's about a woman who becomes sort of obsessed with the legacy of Richard III, who we all kind of know is like, if you know him at all, you probably know him from the Shakespeare's quote unquote historical drama about Richard III, who, you know, murdered or had his nephews murdered so that he could ascend to the throne and was this awful, horrible, loathsome person. And it's so funny because when I saw the preview and it's alluding to like, maybe that's not true. And my first thought was like, well, I was just at the Tower of London and I saw the display where it showed us that he was a horrible person. But it sort of is this idea of like, we don't really know what he was. And there's every chance that he's been misremembered through history. And oh, and speaking of not my inability to always separate the artist from the art, the gentleman who plays Richard III is Harry Lloyd, who played Daenerys's brother in the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's such a horrible, despicable character that I almost immediately was like, you're gross and I hate you. He's so charming and handsome. I was like, oh, you're an actor. I need to calm down sometimes.
It's hard. No, I get it.
But he's lovely and he's really great in this film and like so cute. And then just another thing that I sort of went back to recently, you know, I had started my Joni Mitchell journey probably 20 years ago when someone got me the Ladies of the Canyon CD, and I'd sort of expanded out to like her first six albums, I think, are kind of considered like her prime, like oeuvre, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's certainly like her most populist albums. And I stopped at the first six, and then the seventh one is a live Miles of Isles. So I kind of like listened to all of that. And then I'd kind of like stepped away for a while. And then several years ago, I did the next one, which is Hissing of Summer Lawns, which is definitely harder. Like there's, you know, she gets a little more complex and a little more experimental.
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, I broke out Hejira. I hope that that's the right name of the album. And once again, now we're getting to like 7-8 minute songs and much more experimental and still like a lot of good stuff, but was a little bit tougher to wrap my brain around.
Sure. Yeah.
And honestly, the reason why I hadn't gone on to the next one is because the name of the album that comes after that is Don Juan's Reckless Daughter, and you can't find it anywhere. Like, you can't buy
really?
It on iTunes. Yeah, like, so basically I had to subscribe to Amazon Unlimited, which I need to cancel before 3 months goes along.
Yeah.
So I listened to it, and it's not what I'm digging, and we're not going to, problematic artwork for the cover of the album, so we won't post it or anything like that. But it's just, I guess my thing that I wanted to say is, I'm really, this might sound weird, but I'm really grateful for Joni Mitchell, and I'm really glad that she's doing okay. Yeah. Like, I feel like there was a really solid period of time where we kind of thought that she wasn't gonna come back to us, or she just wasn't doing very well. And to see her and hear her perform has been so, like, beautiful. And there was the video of her where Winona Judd is in the background just like crying.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, I'm right with you, Winona. Totally. We're both just like sobbing listening to Joni Mitchell. So just sort of my in general appreciation of Joni Mitchell that I wanted to put out there. So
I guess she wanted to be like an artist, you know? She wanted to quit music.
Yeah, she was a painter. Yeah. And she painted a lot of her, or not a lot of it, she painted several of her album covers too, if you go and look at them.
Super cool.
Anyways, there you go. So I mean, I don't know, I guess I could kind of go right into the thing that I could do without this
week,
if that's
okay.
Yeah. Because it's in the same thing, and it's just the fact that, like, why can't I buy some of the Joni Mitchell albums? Like, why are they not available? Because the next one after that is Mingus, and it's also not available. And I will also say that I own a couple of later era Joni's that I bought on iTunes, and they're not on iTunes anymore. So it's just weird how, like, things are available certain places. Yeah, because then here's the other thing. The other night, I was like, you know what TV show I never finished?
Which is, this is not like you.
When I start watching things. Oh, I had watched the first season of the British TV series Broadchurch, which is Olivia Colman's very, and it's, the first season is brilliant, and it was remade as an American series,
I
think, called Grace Point.
Loved it.
The British one?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'd like to go back and watch, because the American one only had one season, but the British one has three seasons. And I was like, I'd like to go and watch that. And it's not there anymore. I think it was on Netflix. And like, I'm sure it's a licensing thing. I'm sure that Netflix just licenses things for a certain amount of time. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to watch the next two seasons of Broadchurch. I guess, you know what I never watched the last season of is that Gillian Anderson TV series that was on Netflix called The Fall, also not available on Netflix anymore.
Oh,
so that one's on Amazon, so I did start the final season of that. But anyways, it's a silly do without. But can we just, like, can things just live in certain places?
Right. Make it easier for
everything
us.
Everything disappears when I'm trying to watch it or listen to it. Anyway, that's, and also, like, am I going to have to buy the CD of Don Juan's Reckless Daughter and, like, buy an external CD drive? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I need answers here. There should be a way for me to buy this album. That's all. How about you? Anything you could do without this week?
Well, I thought I made a note. I love it when I make notes for our chats, because I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, because my brain is just things are falling through it all the time. So I told you guys that I volunteer for library, and this week they were reading A is for Awesome, which is 23 iconic women who changed the world. So my little tiny TKer, all the TK class, is going through this book, and you know, it's like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, anyways, all these famous people. And the librarian is having the kids, if they know who it is, they thumbs up. If they don't know, they thumbs down. And we get to Beyonce.
Uh-huh, sure.
And my son denies knowing who Beyonce is. For shame. For shame. I cannot. I was like,
how are you raising this child?
I like yelled. I was like, you know who Beyonce is. Like, all the kids turned to me. I'm like, Kama's like, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm like, yes, you do. We listen to her all the time. I was like, you little stinker. But he was doing it because the other kids were doing it, or the other boys were doing it. I'm just like, stop being such a
boy.
I was just going to say that. But yeah, that's it. And I was like, nope, that's not cool. Because I'm sorry, but in my house, you know that I love her very much. So that's very cool, buddy. Not very cool at all.
Gotta get up on your Beyonce. So I did kind of give us a topic this week, because it was going to be a part of my talking about my week, because I've made several questionable ingestion choices this last week. And I was thinking about, because I love pizza. Like,
I used
to get a pizza once. Yeah, it's delicious. And the same, so I used to love to get a pizza and then watch Saturday Night Live live. And I didn't work this last Saturday. And I was like, oh, I have plenty of time. I'm going to go buy a pizza. And then I've also, and we are on the same page on this, that neither of us are super into sweets. Like, I almost never crave like a cake or a pie.
Same.
Like, that's not really my thing. But I, for some reason, had been craving like just plain, simple, basic cake.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the store. I'm just going to buy a dumb, you know, one of the brands does a gluten-free cake mix. So I made a cake, and I ate part of the cake, and I ate a whole pizza. And I just felt terrible. Like, it just felt, you just feel horrible. Yeah. And even last night, Elise and Annabelle and I went and got some Mexican food at one of my favorite places. Oh, and they have, I'm not going to say the name of the place, but their margaritas are terrible. They're amazing, but they're awful. And they're super strong and they're so gross. And I'm aware. And we even talked about it at dinner. I was like, I'm going to have two of these. I'm going to have two and I'm going to feel terrible tomorrow. Like, I know I'm going to feel awful and I don't feel great. Like, I feel, I'm like, yeah, yeah, I was correct in my assessment of the situation. And I was just thinking about that because there are just certain things that hopefully you learn. And part of it's just getting older that, yeah, like, our bodies just don't handle the effects of that as well. But I was sort of wondering if you had any specifics of, like, things that you do to yourself that you're like, well, this isn't going to be great later.
I mean, yeah, for sure. It's so funny because I think that I'm, like, a really healthy eater. But then when you start to track your stuff, you're like, oh, oops. Well, my most unhealthy thing, though, and there was some article that came up there trying to ban it because it's so not good for you. But, like, I like gummy type candies and I'll, like, kind of go nuts on them where I do feel just kind of disgusting and also just, like, kind of jittery and crazy. But I love the hot tamales. But apparently there's something in them that's, like, causes cancer, and I'm like, it caused cancer in rats, and I'm like, great, real wonderful. But I will also, I am not a dairy. I can have dairy, but there are times, sure, where I will just binge on too much dairy stuff, and I'm like, my stomach really hurts. I didn't need that. I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Or just,
yeah, it's. And I guess, like, maybe you learn and do better. Or sometimes you're just, yeah, like, I'm going to feel bad later. And exactly, that's going to be okay, too.
I do that with white wine, too. Because white wine always gives me it hurts. I don't like it. My tummy. But I like the taste of it. When it's sunny out, white wine is just calling my name. And I know it's going to hurt later.
And it's just softer. Like, it feels, like, softer than having, like, hard... I mean, literally than having hard liquor. But, yeah, no, I've learned that
it
with
gives
wine,
me heartburn,
too. That there are moments...
I can't.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad when I have
to be an old lady.
I know. It's you know.
But most ladies, old ladies like their Chardonnay, their white wine. I don't know. For some reason, my body's like, nope, drink some hard liquor instead. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Well, I guess that's kind of it. I was just thinking about that. And this week, I don't know that I have anything random. I might have no way to end the show. The show might just go on and on.
The only random thing, and I haven't read it yet, but I know that you love Anna Quinlan. And mm-hmm. she wrote a book, and it's called Nanaville. She writes about her adventures in being a grandma. And I actually really want to read about this. I mean, you know.
That's funny. I think that's, like, the one thing that she's written that I've never read before.
But
I,
it's fairly
I
new,
check
right?
That out.
Or no? No, it's
Is
from
it
like 3 years ago. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I think that I remember it coming out, and then I didn't buy it, but I love her writing. I think that her writing is so incredible.
I know.
It's funny, I mean, like, not to circle back, but last night at dinner, we were talking about, I thought, so this is my random thing.
Great.
Was that your random thing?
Yeah,
was that your reading,
Nana? That okay. I was going to start it, and I just know you love her. And I think it's
I do love her.
Interesting that she wrote about grandmas, grandparents.
So I guess that I could, like, that could be my random thing, which was just Anna Quinlan, which is, you know, I was talking about her at dinner last night because we were talking about politics and we won't get into it.
Chihuahua.
All that's going on right now. But, you know, I was talking about how, like, I was raised in a very religious conservative household, and it really was Anna Quinlan. Like, Anna Quinlan, reading her works and reading her columns, that I was like, yeah, maybe a woman should have the right to her own body autonomy. Mm-hmm. And, like, oh, maybe we should. Like, it's, you know, she's just so reasonable. Like,
ban
she's
the
just
books.
So,
Ban the book. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously.
I'm kidding. That's some
Anna Quinlan. I do love her.
I love her, too. Yay, Anna Quinlan.
Let me know how it goes.
Maybe
I'll check it out afterwards.
I will.
Well, I'm glad we made this happen.
Me
and
too.
We'll be off next week. So we will have tons to talk about in two mm-hmm. weeks, probably. But I'm glad we got together. And I love you. I always love seeing your face.
I love you, too. I love your face.
And thank you all for listening. And we'll be back in a few weeks.
Yep. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime.
You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
I feel like I said album weird. Album covers.
Album covers. Baby.
We're having headphone issues.